Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Monday, July 20th, and welcome to the 30th week of the year 2015. These are some of the stories we've lined up for you. Nigerian President Buhari is flying to the US to meet President Obama. This analyst thinks the issue of insecurity in Nigeria will top his agenda.
This visit is the first step in what I expect to be a renewal of the partnership between the United States and Nigeria on a wide variety of issues, but of course, most prominently, the fight against the terrorist group Boko Haram.
A new kind of African justice kicks off today as former dictator of Chad, Hissène Habré, faces a tribunal in Senegal.
The time has finally come for the rest of the world to learn what Habré and his police forces did to the people of Chad.
These stories plus learning by air coming in the next 25 minutes on Africa Link, and I will be taking you through. My name is Abubakar Jallo, coming to you from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany.
Top story.
He is doing what his predecessor didn't do. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari will meet with his U.S. counterpart President Barack Obama in Washington today. Analysts say the fight against Boko Haram will dominate the agenda. In a moment, we will hear what Nigerians think about the visit. But first, this report by Gero Schlis in Washington is presented by Heko Flores.
Most Americans have a certain impression of Nigeria, and so far, it's not the best.
It's thought of as a country that is largely corrupt, that there are so many, internet scams that are associated with Nigeria. They think of it in terms of chaos. They think of it of the Boko Haram, the terrible violence, and so on.
That's Richard Joseph, an Africa expert with the Brookings Institution in Washington. According to him, Nigeria is generally perceived in a negative light in the U.S., largely due to the continuous series of attacks by the Boko Haram terrorist group. New Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari now has a chance to change this view of his country when he visits the White House. Washington may well see the new president as the right man to put Boko Haram in its place. Just a couple of weeks into his term, the ex-general was swift in making tough decisions by sacking the entire military leadership. Previously, he had placed the command center against Boko Haram closer to its operation area in northeast Nigeria. Buhari has promised to stem the violence that has plagued the northeast of the country for the last 6 years. Yet, the series of attacks has not stopped.
Re-establishing trust is going to be very important. So once you have trust, you could get, greater intelligence sharing, greater intelligence activities, and then, of course, the training.
For Buhari, rebuilding confidence must be at the top of his list during his visit. Nigeria's military has lost the trust of allies in the U.S., Europe, and neighboring countries due to its incompetence in countering Boko Haram. Peter Pham, an Africa security expert from the Atlantic Council, said that Washington even stopped the training of a Nigerian battalion by the U.S. Army as part of this lack of trust, but he believes in progress with Buhari's visit to the White House.
This visit is the first step in what I expect to be a renewal of the partnership between the United States and Nigeria on a wide variety of issues, but of course, most prominently, the fight against the terrorist group Boko Haram.
The relationship between the two countries suffered during former President Goodluck Jonathan's term and the constant violence. Alarm bells rang in Washington when the terrorist group announced it was aligning itself with the Islamic State, as Peter Pham explains.
Now that it has affiliated with the Islamic State and, in fact, expanded its attacks, as we saw just in recent days, to Chad and Niger, is increasingly a more virulent threat to regional security than it has been in the past.
Just last week, violence erupted once again, as two explosions at a market in the city of Gombe killed at least 49 people and injured dozens of others, while another bomb attack was reported at a military checkpoint near the city of Maiduguri. President Buhari has yet to show a major success in his bid to crack down on Boko Haram.
Gero Schlis filed that report from Washington. Nigeria is one of the United States' most important trading partners in Africa. Buhari's visit has obviously had many Nigerians discussing the ambitions of their new leader. My colleague Isaac Mugabe spoke to our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang, who has been finding out what Nigerians think about the visit.
Well, Nigerians are actually becoming very, very impatient, bearing in mind that for a very long time, Boko Haram has been killing, miming, and doing all sorts of havoc. And again, since the president of America is now saying they're ready to assist Nigeria to ensure Boko Haram is routed, and in doing so, they expect what they call recent equipment. They expect that well-trained American soldiers will be on ground to assist Nigeria to ensure that Boko Haram is routed. Outside that, in terms of economy, they also want America to play very vital roles. Unemployment is serious here. And Isaac, I want to tell you that in terms of education, we have over 12,000 out of school children in Nigeria. And of course, northern Nigeria is worst hit, especially northeastern part of the country where you have Boko Haram.
How can you describe the current diplomatic relationship between Nigeria and the U.S.?
I want to tell you that there is a better rapprochement, there's better relationship, and they tend to work between Nigeria and America as it is today. Unlike the recent past where you had Goodluck Jonathan going this side, America is going the opposite direction. And in terms of even fighting Boko Haram, America denied the Jonathan regime access to weapons. But today we are seeing that there is better improved relationship, and that's why Obama himself requested that the Nigerian president goes to America to see him.
Ben, what does the opposition think about Muhammadu Buhari's political maneuvers? He was visiting neighboring countries, and now he is in the U.S.
Incidentally, opposition in Nigeria, they talk for talking's sake. Here you are, People's Democratic Party, the PDP, was in government. Now the current president was in opposition. And that time, the opposition was so vehement. And within this short while, now the routed party, the defeated party, has become opposition. All they do is to oppose for opposing's sake. And again, what they were accusing the APC of those days, of playing politics with Boko Haram, PDP is here playing the same politics. Today we hear people like Fanny Kayode, who headed the campaign organization of Goodluck Jonathan, is busy saying that Buhari made it a campaign tool that was going to end Boko Haram. But within May 29 to this period, too many people have been killed, attacks here and there. So again, they are playing that same role they were accusing APC of, playing politics with security.
Ben Shemang in Abuja.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
It's the first time an African state is subjecting a former leader of another African state to account for crimes against humanity. The former dictator of Chad, Hissène Habré, is appearing before a court in Senegal today over charges committed by his regime. Habré has been dubbed Africa's Pinochet until June 2013, when he was taken into custody in Senegal, where he has been living with his family. Rights groups say his government is responsible for the death of at least 40,000 people between 1982 and 1990. Ole Tangen presents this report compiled by Catherine Mate.
For the first time ever, a former head of state from sub-Saharan Africa is standing trial. Hissène Habré, who was the president of Chad during the 1980s, is being charged with war crimes, torture, and crimes against humanity. Many see this trial as precedent-setting for the continent. In the past, similar trials were referred to the International Criminal Court at The Hague. This trial is taking place in Dakar, the capital of Senegal. Habré fled Chad for Senegal following a coup in 1990. His victims hope that the trial will be fair and that justice will finally be served. Najengaye Toura Ngaba lives in N'Djamena, the capital of Chad. He was held for more than 2 years by the Habré regime.
I was arrested in 1985. They tortured me every day. They would beat me or shock me. I still have the scars to this day.
Solimane Gwengweng has made the trip to Dakar to witness the trial. He too was tortured by Habré's henchmen. After Habré was ousted, Gwengweng worked with other victims to document war crimes. He has been fighting for this moment for 25 years.
The time has finally come for the rest of the world to learn what Abré and his police forces did to the people of Chad.
More than 2,500 witnesses are slated to testify. Abré is currently sitting in a jail cell in Dakar. The ex-president refuses to recognize the legality of the proceedings and has petitioned the court to hold the trial in his absence. Previous attempts to bring Abré to justice failed. Senegal finally arrested him in 2013, possibly because of pressure from the United States. The Senegalese law professor Penda Mbao believes that the West African country is ready for a trial of this magnitude.
We are looking forward to a fair trial that will improve not only the image of Africa, but also strengthen the rule of law.
Many victims hope that the trial will bring some closure to this dark time in the country's history. Many also see the trial as a symbol of justice for other African dictators. However, sociologist Marie-Angélique Savané says that it would be foolish to think that this will lead to significant change.
This trial will not change anything for other heads of state who do not even flinch when they change the constitution so that they can stay in power for the rest of their lives.
Catherine Mate compiled that report. Let's head now to northern Ghana, where residents are yet to come to terms with the devastation left behind by heavy flooding a week ago. Hundreds were left homeless after their houses were submerged in water. Maxwell Souk reports from Tamale.
I am out on the streets in Tamale shortly after a heavy torrential rain hit parts of northern region. Water channels, homes and pavements are all submerged up to the waist level. Residents say the water is strange and they are putting the blame on the local assembly for not giving them proper drainage system.
It's their responsibility to plan the area very well, make sure that places that are supposed to have drainage gutters should be properly constructed so that when it rains, water can have its pathway to go through without affecting houses. So I would put the blame absolutely on the authorities.
Behind me, a group of neighbors gathered at Rukaya's house to protect what is left. Rukaya told me she spent the whole evening fighting to protect her belongings from being carried away by the water.
I don't know where to enter. Most of my things are gone. Where to sleep tonight with my children is a problem. We need a good drainage to solve this issue.
Safia also got her share of the flowers. And she is tired of living in such a house.
Every night when it's raining, we don't sleep because we know that if it does not enter your house, it will enter another person's house. And definitely you have to come and help. And that's not fair. We have children below the age of 1.5. And imagine it's in the night and everybody is sleeping. What will be their fate? It's a sad story.
But the building inspectorate division of the assembly feels the public criticism about their work is unfair. Awal Adamu heads this department, and for him, they are tired of educating people to stop building in waterways.
For how long will people be educated with this building regulations? The incidences that have occurred in this country is enough for ordinary person to know exactly what to do.
More rains are expected in the north of Ghana, according to the Meteorological Agency, which means more floods are expected too. But before this drainage is completed, residents will have already hit the streets to protest their authority.
Maxwell Souk in northern Ghana.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Great to have you back. This is the fourth season of Crossroads Generation facing new challenges.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way.
Do you remember what happened to Paolo, the father of Sama and Noni? Last time he took to his heels after a forest ranger found him and his colleague cutting down trees in the protected Tandika forest.
Hey, you two, freeze!
Run, Paolo, run! Forest rangers, shit, the chainsaw, leave it!
I said stop right now or I'll shoot!
Someone who cares much more about the environment is 19-year-old Dan. He's an environmental activist and he wants other people to join his campaign. Recently, he talked to the director of Kisimba Special School about getting its students involved.
Interesting. What would they be involved in?
Just clean-up activities. And those who can't get involved physically could help by educating people, talking to them about what we are doing.
At the school, Dan also met an old friend, Anita. She's doing an internship there, and he also asked her to support his project. Anita and Dan are both from the neighboring country, Laboria. They used to go to school in Kisimba. Anita was also friends with Mercy and Trudy, but when they all finished school, Anita went back to Laboria and they lost touch. In the last episode, Anita talked to Tina, who met Mercy and Trudy at university.
Is Mercy around? I can't wait to see her.
No, she isn't. She's been having some personal issues.
Oh no, would you give me her number? I'm dying to see her and Trudy again. It's been so long since we last met.
Oh my God. You don't know, do you?
Know what?
Trudy is dead.
At the beginning of today's episode entitled Burdens, we join Anita at a restaurant. While she waits for Dan, she's talking to Mercy on the phone.
Oh, Mercy, I just can't stop crying whenever I think of Trudy. So sad. But I'm very happy to hear your voice. Yeah, I'll see you soon. Just meeting Dan briefly, and then I'll come over. Yes, me too. I can't wait to see you. Bye.
Hey, Anita. Sorry I'm late. There was so much traffic.
It's okay, Dan. I haven't been waiting long.
So, what did you want to see me about?
Well, I talked to the school director about your idea. It sounds as if he supports the plan. He might allow the students to participate in the cleanup activity this weekend.
Really? That's very good news. But you've been crying. What's the matter?
Why didn't you tell me?
Tell you what?
That Trudy died.
Oh my God. You didn't know?
How could I? I lost touch with everyone when I went back to Laboria. And I've only been here for a few weeks. I haven't even seen Mercy yet.
So who told you?
Tina, tell me, what happened?
Trudy was shot.
Shot? Oh my God, but why? I don't understand.
They say it was because of a story she wrote about Mukaraba. About some illegal deals he was involved in. They say Mukaraba had her killed.
Mukaraba? The local politician?
Yes.
And what happened to him?
Well, they couldn't actually prove he was linked to her murder, but he was convicted of other crimes. He just paid some fines and was barred from public office. I hear he now owns about 100 timber mills.
Mercy must have been devastated. She and Trudy were such good friends.
She was. But I think she's slowly coming to terms with it.
Isn't it good to be home? Even if the roof is leaking and all. Hello? Paolo's home. Mama Sama.
Eish, Paolo. I am right here. You don't have to shout as if I were up a tree.
Is there anything to eat in this house?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing?
I mean, we have no food. Where do you expect me to get it? You've brought nothing home for the past week.
Don't speak to me like that, woman. Have you no respect?
When you left here this morning, you told me you were going to work. What happened?
You have no idea what I've been through today. I almost got killed by forest rangers.
Well, obviously you weren't. And there's still nothing here for the children to eat.
What do you want me to do, Mama Sama? I'm trying my best.
I expect you to fulfill your responsibilities, the same as other family men. Sama and the boys were sent home from school today because we have no money to pay the fees. And now you sit here demanding food? Am I a food machine?
What? The children were sent home?
Don't you have ears? That's what I just said.
But I told the head teacher to be patient with me.
Well, he can't be patient for a whole year.
Oh, damn it. I hate this life.
That must be Anita. Hey, Anita!
Mercy, give me a hug, girl. Oh my God, you look so beautiful and not a day older.
You too, God. Anita, I've missed you so much.
Me too.
I can't believe we lost touch. Come in and help me cook. Don't think I'll spare you because you're a guest.
How could you get married to Mr. Tall and Handsome and not tell me?
You don't have to whisper. There's no one here, just us girls. Mr. Tall and Handsome and our daughter Linda have gone for a walk.
I see. But you still haven't answered my question.
Anita, I really wanted you to be at our wedding. But I didn't know how to contact you. And Trudy, well, you heard what happened.
It's so sad. I've cried so much since I heard. I can't even think of her without bursting into tears.
Please, don't remind me. Tell you what, come and talk to me in the kitchen. It's high time you learned how to cook, you spoiled creature. Come on.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, Summer, you're here. How long have I been asleep on the couch?
Some time now, Dad.
Where did your mother and brothers go?
I don't know where Mother went, but I think the boys are visiting friends. Dad?
Yes?
When will we go back to school? Tomorrow? We were about to sit our exams.
Oh, Summer, I don't have...
Paolo! Paolo, open up!
Shit, that's the landlord. He must not know we're here.
Paolo! I know you're in there. You promised me you'd pay your rent today. You're 3 months late.
Dad, maybe you should open up and explain to him that we're not...
Shh!
I can hear you whispering in there. Open this door at once. Okay, fine. I'm going. But when I come back, you should be prepared to leave. I did not build this house for charity, you know.
Has he gone?
I think so.
What are we going to do?
I don't know, Summer. I just... unless...
Unless what, Dad?
Unless... Summer, I'm sorry to have to ask you this, but I think you and your sister Noni can help.
How?
You're always wanting to take your sister out, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay then, put on your jacket and fetch your sister. We are going out.
I don't understand. Where are we going?
I'll explain on the way. Hurry up.
But...
Summer, will you stop asking questions and do as I say for once?
I'm sorry, Dad.
And that's where we finish today on Crossroads Generation. Paolo must be taking his daughter somewhere interesting. If you want to know where, don't miss the next episode. And if you missed any of the previous ones, all is not lost. You can catch up at dw.de/LBE. We'd also be very happy to hear from you on Facebook. Bye for now.
And before we leave you, a reminder of the main stories. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari is flying to the U.S. to meet his counterpart, President Barack Obama. And the trial of former Chadian dictator Hissène Habré has begun in Senegal today. For comments and suggestions, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957595110. My name is Abubakar Jallo, and I will be right back here again with you tomorrow. Until then, bye for now.